All right, welcome to the Ed Show number 64 in the news today. Wanted to remind you of this big event that's coming up next week called Tech Ed. So we are going to be at Tech Ed with Channel 9 Live, streaming live there. And we're going to have a lot of interviews over the course of 3 days. So definitely stay tuned to that. And in case you hadn't seen our interviews already from MMS, there is a short link for that. So there you can go to aka.ms/edgemms, and there you can see all of our 19 interviews that we did, which are still current. And then there's also, right, you know, just for TechEd, when you get there for North America, just go to the Channel 9 site for TechEd and check that out.
Yeah, I think one big change that's worth highlighting is that we've actually moved our scheduling platform over to the Channel 9 system now. So there's not a schedule builder built into the actual TechEd system. You actually go to Channel 9 so you can build your schedule online. And then you automatically have links to all of the recordings. So hopefully it's going to save people some time afterwards if they miss a session, trade them up, because they just directly get taken to the recordings.
There you go. What else do we got, Simon?
Well, on the technical side, one of our new releases this week is the Map Toolkit version 8.5. So MAP is the Microsoft Assessment and Planning Toolkit. And essentially what this utility does is scan our infrastructure to really give you guidelines around how you can optimize your future deployment. So with this 8.5 beta release, we now support System Center 2012 SP1, Windows Server 2012 SP1. But more importantly, we just try to make this utility a little easier to use. So first of all, big improvements around the UI. Our goal here with the UI is to kind of organize our sections by task. So discovery tasks, reporting tasks, inventory tasks, so that you can more easily manage your infrastructure. We made some improvements to our virtualization management and virtualization discovery. So as we go and actually analyze each host, we will then go and inventory all of the VMs that actually reside on each host. So you just get better insight into what each of these hosts is doing, what type of performance it's using. Next, we made some improvements to licensing. So if you have lots of desktops out there, especially virtualized desktops, we have some improvement around the volume licensing component to make sure that you are mapped back to your correct licensing package. And then finally, we've added support to specifically go and look for and test our latest releases of Exchange, our latest releases of SharePoint, and also Link. Now, that's kind of it for the Map Toolkit. You can get a link to go download the beta at the bottom of the screen. But more importantly, we have a really big Link announcement. So as you know, a couple years ago, we bought Skype. Mm-hmm. We have Link. Hey, Microsoft has two unified communication products. Well, we're happy to announce this week, we are now merging these and being able to offer them with shared features. This includes our IM capabilities, our presence sensing capabilities, so you can see if you're online, mm-hmm. if you're offline, if I'm working from home. This type of information. So it's essentially really trying to merge these technologies. So stay tuned and check out the Microsoft blog to read all of these highlights that have just been announced.
Yeah, that's really huge. I mean, because you're really connecting, right? That personal and that work experience, no matter where people are at. You
know? Exactly. Hey, everyone has a unified mobile device now, right?
Right.
So let's also consolidate our unified communications to map to that.
Yeah, most definitely. And the last but not least in the list is we had general availability, of course, of Windows Azure middle of April. Now, shortly thereafter, we had another announcement which covered some other features that we are putting into preview. Some of those are PowerShell remoting, for instance. So you can, by default now, remote into your virtual machines that you spin up using PowerShell. Also, Linux machines. We have the ability to upload a certificate and securely connect over SSH to those VMs. And then we have a number of enhancements to the virtual networking space, such as we have a point-to-site connection, as well as dynamic routing, and supporting software VPN with Windows Server. That is what we are going to cover next. So stay tuned and check out the interview. All right, well, we are continuing on with the Ed Show, and today I am joined by Yushan. Welcome to the Ed Show.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah. Could you tell everybody a little bit about what you do at Microsoft?
Sure. My name is Yushan Wen. I'm a program manager in Windows Azure networking team. Specifically, my feature area is actually in the backend connectivity, what we call hybrid networking team.
Okay, so you are in the heart of developing whatever we got going on in the networking space, and I know that that's an area that when I go and present, there's a lot of people that are really interested in all the new networking features that are out there, And just recently, right, we announced after general availability a number of new enhancements
yes.
to the network in the networking space with Windows Azure, namely the point-to-site connectivity is one that hopefully we can dig a little more into today.
Sure.
But for the rest of the audiences out there, what are some of the things that they might want to know as far as when do I do site-to-site, when do I do point-to-site? Can you explain a little bit of the differences?
Sure, definitely. So as you all know, we already have site-to-site VPN connectivity working in Windows Azure in conjunction with virtual networking for a while. And the point-to-site is a new capability that we added, I think back in April 26, right after we GA the main site-to-site and also the ISGA in general. So the key difference between point-to-site and site-to-site is that, let me just use the picture to show.
Sure, yeah.
So for site-to-site, this is really what we targeted at for customer running infrastructure services. For example, if you have AD, you have SQL on-premise that you want to connect to your Windows Azure workload, you may have front-end here, you may have some databases here that you want to connect seamlessly between your Azure virtual network and your on-premise data center. So just very quickly, the connectivity looked like this. So customer run their hardware VPN-based device on their premise, and on the Azure side, we will set up a VPN software VPN gateway for the customer. And then we establish the site-to-site tunnel between customer on-premise and Windows Azure virtual network. And this connectivity is meant to be persistent. And it's also more higher bandwidth connectivity than the point-to-site connectivity that we will be talking about.
Okay.
And for point-to-site, just kind of very quickly using the same picture to show, is that I mean, you may have remote workers, you have developers working offsite or working in coffee shop or even traveling, and you may have some computers behind your corporate firewalls and proxies that you want to connect just for very quickly accessing your Azure virtual network without going through all the entire infrastructure. So point-to-site connectivity is defined for that particular purpose.
Okay, and can that be used in conjunction with site-to-site or needs to be one or the other?
Ah, that's a very good question. As you can see in the picture, so the point-to-site and site-to-site, they actually work together. So when customer create their virtual network, they simply say, I want both point-to-site and site-to-site. And this is literally how we will set up, even though the diagram looks kind of interesting. So you can see that they have site-to-site connectivity into Azure virtual network, and they also have point-to-site connectivity into Azure. And in practice, what we did is we actually leverage Windows Server 2012 RS, Routing and Remote Service. And that can act both as a site-to-site VPN endpoint and also point-to-site VPN endpoint.
And that Windows Server 2012, right, that's under the hood, right? So
yes,
people, when you set up point-to-site, you're using Windows Server 2012 under there to make all these connections happen, right?
Yes.
Okay, that's very cool. So what about, let's say, multiple site-to-site VPNs into a virtual network, or maybe wanting two virtual networks to connect to each other?
Ah, now you're getting to the interesting question. So those are the feedback that we heard repeatedly from the customer, and those are features that we are working on right at this point. So basically, these are the features that if a customer have multiple virtual networks in different regions or different areas, they want to connect to each other without going back on-premise. Uh-huh. Or another common scenario is a lot of customers definitely have more than one local site, more than one on-premise site.
Right.
And whether we want to enable them to set up multiple site-to-site VPN tunnels into their Windows Azure virtual network. So those are the features that we're working on. And just stay tuned. I mean, the newer feature will be coming online.
All right. We will stay tuned on that one. But for now, it'd be great if we could get a little better understanding of how that point-to-site VPN works. So can you show us
what
that looks like?
Sure. So I'm going to go into a demo. So what you can see here is that I have Windows Azure portal right at this point. So this is my own portal that I used to set up demo. But this just worked like the regular production portal. So if you go to the networking pane, like I'm doing right now, you can see a list of virtual networks that you have already created. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to walk through the process of creating a point-to-site and site-to-site connectivity. And in the process, point out sort of the new enhancement and the new features that both the portal team and the platform team added onto Windows Azure. And after this, because the actual creating of the gateway is going to take about 5 to 6 minutes, so I actually have a point-to-site demo that I created.
Sure.
Then I will show you how, literally, how you can install the point-to-site connectivity onto your laptop, right?
Okay.
This laptop, and then we'll try to connect from the laptop.
Sounds good.
So let's get to it. So if you go to the networking pane, then you click New. So we have the quick create, just as usual. If you want to create a virtual network that doesn't require any cross-premise connectivity, the quick create is still there. But today, we're going to go through the custom create. This one gives you all the options that you can do with Azure Virtual Network and cross-premise connectivity. So let's give it a name. So let's say H-Show Demo.
There we go.
OK. And you can give it a regular a DNS server. So I created one. Let's just use that.
This could be, of course, the first VM in your network that you're planning, or other public DNS servers that you decide you want
exactly.
to use. No problem.
Exactly. Because this is because the site-to-site and the point-to-site VPN basically work with Azure Virtual Network. So bring your own DNS, or you are leveraging the Azure DNS. Either way, this can just work. So let's call this my DNS. And as you see on the right-hand side, here's the new features that we're adding. You can say, I want to configure point-to-site or site-to-site or both.
Okay.
So for this demo, I'm going to say for both point-to-site and the site-to-site. And you can see the enhancement in the graphic that the portal team did to actually visually show you what this looked like. And you can see the picture, flip the left-hand side and right-hand side, but you can see this is your Azure Virtual Network. We have an H-Show demo. And then we have the on-premise, and we have the client here.
Mm-hmm.
And these client basically means the point-to-site VPN client. So you can have the size is up to 200, but in practice, we have tested up to about 70 or 80 simultaneous VPN client connecting to Azure Network. So let's select both, and then you can just pick a on-premise site that you have already set up. Once you do that, you can see that the next screen shows you how to specify your point-to-site connectivity. The idea here is that the point-to-site, the mobile client, is actually going to be part of your virtual network. As part of your virtual network, we need to know what addresses you will be using from this mobile client connecting to your Azure Virtual Network, so such that the address won't conflict. So typically what I do is, this you have to consult your network administrator, but typically what I pick is I pick a sort of a more unique IP addresses here. And the size limit is, of course, /24, you can have to 250, should be 254, but that's just minor point. And then the next screen is just, this is the original stuff, as in you also need to tell us your virtual network address space. With Azure Virtual Network, you get to persist your IP addresses so that you need to tell us the subnet, the address range that you will be using for the Azure Virtual Network.
Yeah, this is the general address range for the VMs that will join the virtual network, which in this case is the Edge Show demo. So this is what people are used to.
Yes. So let me just quickly work through that. And oops. Yeah, so just very quickly, you can have your front end, 10.1.0. Just do this. And then let's do /24.
Okay,
to save time, I'm not going to go through the rest. And notice that one enhancement the portal team made is that now there's a button to actually add gateway subnet. Because in order to facilitate site-to-site connectivity, and in this,
But you could add that later, though, right?
Yes.
Okay.
Oh, this one is in conflict. No, actually, you have to add it now. So this is a mistake most people made, because the old portal, we actually did not have that. So you actually need to manually add a gateway subnet, a subnet called gateway, and then give it a smaller IP prefix. Here's the thing, because the gateway must be created when the virtual network is created. Sure, you can remove it and recreate it later, but then the gateway subnet must be there. So the idea here is that because the gateway, it's bridging between your Azure Virtual Network. You look at it this way.
Yeah.
This is the virtual network. This is your Azure virtual network. So the gateway is bridging between your Azure virtual network to your on-premise cloud. So it is, on the one hand, part of the Azure virtual network. That's why we need to add the gateway subnet.
And that will be the same gateway used for the client and the demo on-prem, the site-to-site and the point-to-site.
Exactly. Okay. So it's just one gateway that we created, both for the site-to-site and for the point-to-site.
Okay, makes sense.
And then you can notice that basically we already pre-populated a /29 because we started only one gateway for now for the customer. So a /29, a very small subnet would suffice. So let's say OK. And then you can see the gateway is starting to create. So
you've got one that you've already pre-canned here, right? And so we could maybe just go to that and see what the end result is after it initially creates that.
Yes. So this is kind of like a cooking show. I have one pre-made so that we can showcase what this looked like. OK. So as part of the virtual network and the gateway creation, once you create a virtual network and the gateway, even though you specify all those, the gateway is actually not created until you actually hit create gateway. So let's go back to that one, see if it's already created. If you look at this H-show demo we just created, it'll say the gateway was not created. So let's actually create a gateway. The reason being, you need to create a gateway for us to do more, such as starting the VPN client, starting the site-to-site VPN server, and also upload the client certificate. So let's just let that run. And then let's go to the one that I've already created. Once you have the gateway created, you will see on the right-hand side, there are a couple of links popping up where my mouse is hovering around. So there are a couple of useful links there. One of the link is upload client certificate. So I just click on that. The reason we need customers to upload their certificate is that for the VPN connectivity, we actually are using the certificate to authenticate customers. Okay. So the idea here is that, go ahead.
So you can, you could utilize a certificate from your corporate PKI infrastructure, right? And as long as the client trusts that certificate, that's the main thing that needs to happen here. Self-signed or from, ideally, right, more securely from your PKI.
Right, exactly. So as version one, what we are doing is that we actually ask the customer to create a root certificate. And just like you said, it can be self-signed or based on the PKI. And you upload the root certificate, and then you create and sign the client certificate, distribute to the customer. And that I'll actually show how what that looked like, the experience on the client side looked like. So here, basically, you can browse, create a certificate that you already have on your computer. Then you can upload to Windows Azure. So let me get out of the screen. So what I did here is that I actually uploaded the certificate already.
Okay.
So what we can do here is that a couple of links will show up after you upload the certificate, right? So once you upload the certificate, you will see that download AMD64 VPN client, download x86 VPN client, and also the original download VPN device script. I want to sidetrack a little bit, just kind of show very quickly another enhancement that we did for the site-to-site. So before, we only have Cisco, Juniper, and now we added Microsoft. We are officially supporting Microsoft Windows Server 2012 RS as a software-based VPN device customer can run on their premise. So in addition to Cisco and Juniper devices, we actually are enabling people to use Windows as a VPN device if they already have one running.
And as well as, right, you can still utilize devices that support some of the common standards like the IKE, even if they're not on the list of our official.
Yeah.
Right?
So that one, David, stay tuned. So we are actually working to onboard more vendor VPN devices in addition to Cisco and Juniper devices that we already have. So we will make more announcement in TechCat, so please stay tuned on TechCat.
Okay.
So I'm going to download the client VPN package. You just click on that, and then just give it a couple of seconds. It'll actually show up to say download. Let me just dismiss something. Okay, so you can see that now at the bottom of the screen, you see here that you can download the VPN client installation package. This is very similar to the typical corporate VPN client installation package that you have. So you just save it somewhere. You can say save as. I'm going to put it under. So before you can actually install and use that, mm-hmm. there's one additional step, because we were talking about using a certificate-based authentication. So what I have here is my trusted USB thumb drive mm-hmm. that I created and signed a bunch of certificate, client certificate, okay. that I'm going to show you how you can just simply install those certificate before you can install the package.
So you'd need to, at this point, distribute this certificate out somehow
yes.
securely to your clients that are out there.
Yes.
So they, and then they can then load that up on their machine.
Yes. So literally, this is one way. I mean, of course, your admin can actually just
right.
package and email you the certificate.
And these are just public certificates, right? So it's not really, I mean.
So the root cert is whatever you created.
Right.
And you just upload the public cert to us. But
okay.
the client cert, actually, it has to have both the public key and the private key.
Okay.
So let's install one.
You definitely want to be a secure mechanism
yes.
then.
Yes. So you just double click on that. I know our MSDN documentation talk about running the cert manager and import, but in fact, you can just double click.
Yeah.
So just work through that. And almost all the options are default. And there's a password there because the private key is actually included.
Right.
So just type the password very quickly. And then automatic is fine. And then the import was successful. So after you do this, then you can install the package that we just downloaded. So let me just quickly
install. So if you install the package
one.
First, then will the package fail or?
Actually, it won't fail. I personally never tried that, but it will not fail, because basically what we did is we point the package to the cert store, the certificate store internally.
Okay.
And as you can see,
okay.
that's it.
Okay.
The way to tell whether you have installed it or not is I probably should have shown the before and after. So you can see that in addition to my regular corp connectivity, direct access, now there's a point-to-site demo one. You can see exactly the same as the package that I'm trying to install here.
As well as
and
the same name as
exactly.
the virtual network that
yes,
you created.
Yes, it is the name okay. of the virtual network. This is just to show again, point-to-site demo one. And the way to connect really is just click on this and then say connect. So you will see the regular, this is really the typical VPN client connectivity dialog. So you just say connect, it'll say, I want to update your routing table, just say okay, and that's it.
And what is this, what protocols is this using to connect up?
So this is using SSTP, which
okay.
is a TCP SSL based protocol. And so that's why the point-to-site connectivity actually work behind typical firewall, even the
yeah.
regular NAT that you get in a coffee shop, or you stay at home, or in a conference center. So this is a great connectivity option to have when you are on the road, or you are developing not inside your corporate infrastructure.
Yeah, all you need is SSL access, and you can connect up
yes.
to the tunnel.
And to show that we are actually connected, so I created a VM here. So let's take a quick look. So this VM, I already remote into the VM. Let me see if I have the screen here, right? So this is my point-to-site demo VM, as you can see on the screen.
Yeah.
So I'm just gonna, I created a folder. I'm just gonna share the folder just to show that this actually worked from sort of this particular laptop. So right now this is shared.
Mm-hmm.
And let's open it. Yeah, there's nothing in it. So from this local laptop, from this laptop that I'm using to project here.
Let's go to the, yeah, so you're now going
yeah.
to the share that's on the VM, that's inside the virtual network, inside of
exactly.
Windows Azure, and we are now here inside of Building 20, VPN'd up into that machine.
Yes, exactly. That's what I'm doing right now. I'm violating a bunch of corporate policies here.
I won't tell anybody. It's okay.
Let's hope they don't watch the show.
Yeah.
So as you can see here, now I'm actually in this share. Just to show this actually work, I created a simple text file. I'm going to copy here. And then you can see that it's actually showing up right away.
There we go.
So
yeah,
right now,
that's pretty sweet.
Just as David said, I have a machine behind a corporate firewall and proxy. And right now, I actually have direct connectivity into your Azure virtual network,
okay.
into my Azure virtual network. So everything is still secure.
Okay, very cool, very cool.
Yeah.
So there's one new thing that I wanted to clarify, too, on the routing
sure.
side of things. So
sure.
when you went through that,
yeah.
right, it said specify your local network.
Yes.
That's obviously a manually defined kind of set of set of network addresses from on-premise.
Right.
Is there a static and a dynamic routing option?
Yes.
Or where is that found at?
Yes. So basically, this is what we introduced during the last announcement. So right now, with this all innovation on point-to-site and also the enhancement on site-to-site, we found that we actually need to introduce the routing into the virtual network gateway concept. So what we did is, before this new feature, what we have is what we typically call policy-based VPN, which still works, and then you can specify multiple subnet on both ends. But with the newer innovation on the routing, on the point-to-site with Server 2012, we actually need to switch over to the routing-based VPN. So when you create a gateway, if you don't specify point-to-site, if you just specify site-to-site, when you hit the gateway creation, let me see if I have a, I think I have one. Let me just see if this one can show. If you say create gateway, you actually will see the create gateway button here. It actually will show two options. One is create dynamic routing gateway and create static routing gateway. Mm-hmm. What we just did here, because I already specified point to site, by default, it switched to dynamic routing gateway. It's not static routing gateway or the policy-based routing gateway. So if you actually have created gateway before, then by default, you are using the static routing or the policy-based routing gateway. So if you want the new feature, unfortunately, you will have to delete the gateway and recreate a new gateway with dynamic routing.
Okay, and then the site-to-site then will also use dynamic routing then, is
yes.
that right?
Okay. Yes, in this particular picture, both basically the gateway here is all routing-based.
Okay, yeah. And then what routing protocols are working under the hoods there for that dynamic routing?
Good question. So right now, there's none. So basically, at this point in time, we just have route statically configured on the virtual network side, and we ask the customer to do the same on the on-premise side. And we're working on onboarding BGP routing protocol as a feature into Azure, but then that's further out. So it's a feature that we're working on, but just stay tuned again.
Okay.
You're going to be very familiar with that.
Yeah, hey, that's right. All right. Hey, well, it's great to know that you're working on a lot of these things that
yes.
I know a lot of people are talking about.
Right.
But it sounds like if people get set up on the dynamic routing and they're using this, they're in good shape for
yes.
the future. Of what's to come. All right, well, thank you so much, Yushan, for your time.
Thank you very
much.
This
has been great.
Thank you very much.
Yeah. All right, well, hope you really enjoyed that interview with the point-to-site networking. And feel free, of course, if you have questions or comments, you can email us edge@microsoft.com. You can send us a tweet @TNEdge. If you're continuing to stay tuned into us the upcoming weeks, definitely watch the live stream from TechEd, we will have an Edge Show episode next week as well. So you can
Absolutely.
Check that out.
Share your feedback, leave comments right down at the bottom of the screen. We always review them. We'd love to hear what you guys want to see on the show.
Yeah, and next week as well, right? So if there's specific topics you really want to get covered or specific questions you want to get covered on what's coming out, feel free to shoot those to us too, and we can try and get those in our interviews. So stay tuned.
We'll see you next week.